السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
Morning, this is the one night and tomorrow that any child who's ever said, Ya Hussein, however far he may be or she may be, wherever they may be, tonight they'll find time to come and join these assemblies wherever we are. This is the power of Al-Hussein. Inshallah, we have a lot more people tonight than we've been having. I'd like to request all the Mu'mineen to please come forward so that when the others come, we have space for them. There's a lot of space here. There's a lot of space here, please. Bar Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, salawat. Please, come forward. There's a lot of space. Sorry to inconvenience you, but come forward, please. Jazakallah. Mu'mineen, let us recite the Surah Fatiha for those departed souls who had the blessing of participating in the Ashura commemorations. And they were with us this night last year, that today they are not with us, in the marhumin of all those who are present in this assembly. Al-Fatiha. السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبو القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد
ومن المحبين إترة الطاهرين أما بعد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفركانه الحميد وقوله الحق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تقولوا لمن يبتل في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون سلامات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
As we remember the shuhada of Karbala on this night, when they were preparing for the ultimate sacrifice, we are reminded of this ayah of the Holy Quran that I began with, to say, speak not of those who are slain in the way of Allah. Nay, they are alive, but you perceive not. The Shaheed, by giving his life, remains alive. The Shuhada are amongst us with their spirit and with their thoughts. And it is this that we look at tonight. As we go through this journey, it's a journey of life. Islam provides us with a vehicle, and that vehicle is truly the vehicle of Iman, that we move forward. We talked about the journey of the soul and the journey of a human being as a human being tries to achieve a level of not perfection, because perfection lies with Allah, but a level of excellence in everything that he or she can do. Spiritually, it is a journey from Nafsul Ammara, the self, the animalistic self, where Quwa-i Ghazabiyya and Quwa-i Shahawiyya, those who are present in the last few days, will recall the power of anger and the power of desire. When they take over, your Nafs-e Ammara takes you lower than that of the animals. As you move through with the faculty that we have been provided with, which is Nafs-e Lawwama, the self-blaming soul, lifts up from there and takes us towards the contented soul, which is Nafs-e Lawwama. And that truly is a journey of the soul, and it's also spiritual as much as it is human. Karbala had those manifestations too. That Karbala had the divine, and Karbala also had the human. When Imam Hussain alayhi salam raises the infant on his arms, the divine element comes in to say, "Ya Allah, I am sacrificing this for you." And when Imam walks back, and we shall do this at the Amal-e Ashura tomorrow, when Imam walks back and forth 7 times with the blood of the infant on his hands, with an arrow that pierced his neck, when Imam walks 7 times back and 7 times forth, that is a human element of a father coming in. And this is what we are, that it is always, the spirituality is divine, at the same time we have the human element. Every tear that we shed, the tears are shed because there is a psychological change within us. And that psychological change displays the human feeling and the human emotion that is the human in us. But the divine in us is that we are lifted by the spirit of Aba Abdillah. When we shed that single tear, our spirit soars along with the spirit of Aba Abdillah. And that is the barakah of these gatherings. May Allah give us more and more opportunities to participate in this elevating assemblies, in this inspiring things, where we are able to unleash our potential, which has been the common title of the series, where we've looked at a number of different factors in terms of what faculties we possess and how is it that we as a society of believers can have a life which is, can be considered to be a life well lived, so that, as we heard in the translation of the Quran and the recitation, that we have been created a nation most balanced. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. That we have been created a nation most balanced so that we may be an example upon mankind. In order to be that example upon mankind, we must ensure that the nafs, ourselves, are the ones who move in that direction. So each one of us coming together as a society who form that balanced nation, Ummate Wasata, a nation most balanced, so that we can be an example upon mankind. Tonight is the last night before Ashura when we say Labbaik to Imam Hussain. Azai Hussain is our way of responding to his call of Hal Min Nasirin Yansurna, and Mu'mineen will be failing in our response if we merely made this, as we heard before, that a 10-day ritual. It is much more than a 10-day ritual. It is an inspiration. It is a time of muhasiba. It is a time for introspection, to say that, am I going to be a better human being and hence a better Muslim when I sit on this very Farsh-e Aza, on this very assembly of mourning next year, inshallah, to say, Ya Imam, yes, I did. The tawalla and tabarra that I had in my mind, the Ziyarat-e Ashura that I recited when I gave the salutations, and when I also recited the 100 lan, that I actually went away from those who are your enemies and I came closer to you. This indeed is our responsibility. I begin this presentation with the very first thing, where we remembered on the first night of this particular program, of this Ashura, to say, like a muazzin, Imam Hussain alayhi salam turns in 4 different directions and says, Hal min nasirin yansurna. Who was he calling out to? The shuhada lay on the plains of Karbala. They had given their ultimate. The women were grieving in the tents. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam was not in a condition to stand up at that time, who was Imam calling out to Mu'mineen? Over the centuries, Imam was calling out to each one of us, and we are here, Mu'mineen, saying, Labbaik Ya Hussein, Labbaik Ya Hussein, Labbaik Ya Hussein. If a single tear, as I said, that we shed, if that were to create within us a small particle of the bravery of Sayyidul Shuhada, a particle of his free nature to say, I will not submit. He said, Mithli la yubayihu mislahu. In terms of his refusal of bayah, he did not say that I will not make bayah to Yazid. What he said is, the like of me cannot make bayah to the likes of him. This call is a universal call. So as we saw with our tears, that he creates a little particle of that free nature. The deep faith that Imam Alayhi Salaam and his companions had, maybe it creates a small particle of that iman within us. A small iota of piety, that taqwa, that was displayed in Karbala, and a small spark of tawheed. Then, Mu'mineen, that tear that we shed will have immense value. We pray to Allah that He accepts our efforts during this month, during these 10 days, and that our tear on the Day of Judgment becomes our salvation, to say, Ya Allah, not only did I cry upon Hussein, but I upheld the principles of Abu Abdullah. We must never let the world forget. You know, the world has not forgotten the Holocaust. Every year, the victims of the Holocaust are remembered in many memorial services. There are Holocaust museums. The idea is that the world is never allowed to forget. In the same way, the Muslims, the Shias of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, will never forget. But I think we have a further responsibility to make sure that the entire planet does not forget Imam Hussein. There are many things we can do in order to put forth this message beyond the four walls of our Husseinians, beyond those confines where we come and do our azah. The azah must become a universal phenomena, just as the other things have been promoted. There are museums, there are shrines that serve to remind people of the victims of the Holocaust. Alhamdulillah, we have shrines, we have many places, but the Western world requires some more artifacts and some more museums. It requires those places where people who understand free nature, non-Muslims, can come and look at the exhibits, and they can feel that this was a cause of social justice. People like Gandhi and many others were inspired by Imam Hussein alayhi salam. These were leaders. What we want to do is, the followers of those people must also understand the value of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And now, as we nurture the next generations in this country, we must move on, and we must guide them, and we must help them, and we must facilitate that they become the icons of the propagation of the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And our young now have creative ways of ensuring that the azah of Hussein is indeed translated into many languages, into many ways where we can promote this faith. Because this is not something that is new. It did not start with Karbala. Karbala was the epitome of that. But as Allama Iqbal says in his Farsi Shairi, to say, Musa Fir'aun Shabbir Yazid Indo Quwat Ad Hayat Ahmad Qadid. The whole idea is that Musa rose against Fir'aun, Shabbir Imam Hussein rose against Yazid. These opposing forces have been at war with each other. Karbala was the epitome. Karbala was the height of that fight between right and wrong. And we recite the Jarat-e Warisa, where we call Imam Hussein the inheritor of the prophets. The entire Jarat-e Warisa and the essence of it is exactly that, to say that this is a continuation. And indeed, when we look at Prophet Ismail, he suffered great pains and offered his sacrifice of his own life. But he was replaced by a ram because the culmination of the spirit of love of Allah was going to manifest in Karbala when Imam Hussein alayhi salam sacrifices his life in the lives of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. This is what we are gathered here. We must also be mindful, as we are blessed to be in these assemblies, that the form of Azai Hussein has always undergone changes to accommodate local norms. The Azai actually began in the house of the enemy. We know from the history that Bibi Zainab salamullahi alayha asked for a house to be vacated in Sham so that they are able to grieve over their loved ones. The Azai began in Sham, and it traversed many continents, it traversed many cultures. Today that Azai has come from Sham all the way to Costa Mesa here. The essence remains the same. The core of Azai Hussein remains the same. But sometimes the language, the mode, the mannerism of that changes according to the time. And this is what we need to be mindful, that today, here in the USA, today in 2016, post September 11, we need to seriously reevaluate the form and the way we actually conduct ourselves. That we ensure that this Azai of Al-Hussein passes on to the next generation with the essence, making sure that it is contemporary in its delivery, it is contemporary in its presentation, so that it becomes an irresistible instrument of tabligh for the community as well as those who have not understood, and we move on. It cannot be incongruent to local norms. There are many things that may be misinterpreted, and I'll cover that very briefly. It cannot be incomprehensible to the younger generation, because that substance that we have in the Azai of Al-Hussein may lose its significance if it becomes incomprehensible for the new generations. I will give you an example very quickly to say that there were three Shia communities. The lovers of Ahlul Bayt, people who had said Labbaik Ya Hussein, they moved in the 1800s from the Indian subcontinent, and they went to three different places. There were various reasons why they had to move. Religious persecution, there were famine. One moved to Fiji. One group actually moved to the Caribbean. And one moved to the East African coast, which is where I was born, which is the community where I come from. The first community that went to Fiji, today when you look at them 150 years later, they have all but lost the language. They have all but lost the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Majority of them have left the school of Ahlul Bayt and joined the school of Ahlul Sunnah. The community that went to the Caribbean have an even worse fate. What happened was that the rituals did not make sense, and today, and you can Google this and you'll be surprised to find that there is a festival which is called the Hosea Festival. The Hosea Festival in the Caribbean has now become a carnival with everything included in a normal carnival, with singing, dancing, na'uzubillah, everything that there is. When we look at in depth at the historical aspects of this Hosea Festival, this Hosea Festival was actually the Ashura procession that was set by those early Shias who had come to the Caribbean. And over a period of time, all that remained was the vestiges of that procession to say, well, our forefathers used to have this procession, therefore we must have the procession. They forgot the essence of the profession. This is what happens when the meaning of Azai of Al-Hussein actually loses its particular substance as the generations flow. Mu'mineen, we need to be contemporary with the times. At the same time, in this country and elsewhere, if you Google, and now, you know, alhamdulillah, we have what I call that anyone who wants to find anything can go to what I call Ayatollah Google. You go there and you become an instant expert on anything and everything. And then if you want to know something more, then you have a new thing called Mullah YouTube. And you will actually, between those, between the Ayatollah Google and that Mullah YouTube, you can have all kinds of things being presented to you. Without any kind of filtering, without any kind of thinking as to where this is coming from. And here is one misconception that I found on Google, to say pilgrims to Karbala traditionally wail and cry and beat themselves to atone for the collective guilt of their ancestors who failed to come to Hussein's aid. This is what is being said out there. The idea is that we must be on the forefront to correct such misconceptions. Firstly, they should be corrected in our own mind. Many a times, as Shaykh Ustad Mutahari wrote, and I covered this in the very first presentation, to say that Imam Hussein al-Islam did not form an insurance company to save sinners from sin so they could go to heaven. The idea was to act on it. The idea was to imbibe the spirit of Imam Hussein al-Islam. And therefore, if outsiders look at us and think of that, then there may be some justification. But this kind of things must be corrected. The other misconception is that pilgrims to Karbala, Salawat. That others actually sold posters, some are depicting Hussein pierced by arrows or his bloodied head on a pike, the sheath equivalent of the Christian depiction of the crucifixion. This is not us. Our young people need to be, you know, on social media, on Facebook, whatever they can to actually correct these misconceptions that go about, that this is nothing to do with the kind of the concept of crucifixion in Christianity. This is a concept of what we call the establishment of social justice and the upholding of the principles of Tawheed, which is pure monotheism, which is what we do. And then when we come internally, this is external. When we come internally, mu'mineen, we recite this dear ziyarah to us. Some of us recite it very often. Some of us recite it during the week. Some of us recite it when we have a particular hajat. When we are in some dire straits, we will recite and we will do the amale ashura. We will recite the ziyarah. The ziyarah also has another function. It's an antidote to awaken ourselves, to reawaken our hearts to the real purpose of our existence. It's not a mere ritual or a recitation. The word ziyara actually comes from, those students of Arabic will bear me out, to say it comes from zur, which means to actually deflect or to turn away. The word zur actually refers indeed to a lie because it deflects from the path of the truth. But the word zur is actually saying that you deflect, you turn. And indeed, there is a spiritual and a moral aspect. And if you're interested, particularly English readers, in the essence and the philosophy of Ziyarat al-Ashura, there is a book by a scholar from Qum. His name is Sheikh Muhammad Khalfan, and he has written a book called The Sacred Effusion. This is in two parts. It's available on alislam.org. Mu'mineen, I particularly ask my young friends not to miss reading this book about the essence of Ziyarat-e-Ashura. There are 600 pages of tafsir of Ziyarat-e-Ashura to say what does it mean when I say Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, when I begin. Even the very first phrase has almost two chapters upon it. This is the ziyar. Then visiting the shrines of the Masumin and reciting the ziyarah, we actually momentarily turn away from our worldly existence and gravitate towards an inner state of seeking none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we are told that you go and worship in the shrines. There could be nothing further from the truth. This is truly the imbibing of seeking none other but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we turn towards those shrines, because those shrines are Sha'irullah for us. Just as the Kaaba is Sha'irullah, just as the Kaaba is an icon for us to focus and turn the ziyarah that we have, particularly when we go to the shrines or when we recite them in our own homes. These are things that will allow us to focus. This is the meaning of Zayat-e Ashura. And it is so very pertinent that tomorrow when we recite the Zayat-e Ashura, in particular that we think about these things, that Zayat must imbibe the spirit and attain that cognizance, the understanding of Zayat-e Ashura, to align himself or herself with the spirit of the one that we are visiting. If we are reciting Zayat-e Ashura for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we must turn to the visited one. And this is why we have the Zayat-e Ashura. We will recite, as I said at the beginning, the crux of the ziyara is tabarra and tawalla. And we will focus on that. In order to emphasize, so that we don't miss the sight of it, 100 times we will do the salam and 100 times we will do the la'an. And this will actually focus us, because it becomes a program of revolution for us. When we recite the tabarra, when we recite the la'an, by the way, for some of my young friends, many a times they have questioned to say, this word curse is something that doesn't sit well with a generation that has been brought up into saying that we must be positive, we must not work in negative space. Where the word la'an to be translated into curse is not exactly correct. The whole idea of la'an is that we are asking, it's a prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove mercy upon those who were the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt. It is a different, it is not a curse as we contextually understand it as a curse. It is a meaning of removing the rahmah. Because truly it is the idea of that prayer. So fleeing from imperfection is the tabarra in us, and seeking perfection is the concept of tawalla when we recite this. And this is something that must be understood. When we say Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, when we say peace be upon you, O entirely obedient servant of Allah, when we have said salam on such a servant of Allah, and I am saying I am going to be close to you, what should my level of obedience be? Malai Mutakyan Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam has said that the wise are those, he was asked what are the signs of the wise, and he said amongst other things, that obey Allah to the degree that you need Him. Think about it, my friends. Do the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only to the degree that you need Him. So what should our ita'at and our obedience be? Mu'mineen, every breath that we take, we could not take had He not given me the faculty and the facility to breathe. And therefore, every breath of mine must be in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Imam Hussain alayhi salam was teaching us. And when we recite that ziyarat, to say, O entirely obedient servant of Allah. And the other thing that Imam says in these beautiful words, the second thing he says in that, to digress a little bit, he said, commit the masya, the sin of Allah, to the degree that you have the ability to bear the heat of Jahannam. In Southern California, I used to live here, it goes to 72 degrees and it's really, really hot. The fire of Jahannam, the ability to bear that. So this is what Imam was reminding us. So coming back, that this salutation is in fact an everlasting impression upon our minds that I am giving salutation to Aba Abdullah, who is the most obedient servant of Allah. The impression upon my mind is, how do I manifest my intention to unite with his lofty goals? The ziyara is not a mere recitation. The ziyara is an antidote for us to reform, to reflect, and to make sure that there is change within us. And indeed, apart from that, the other thing that we have is that when you are Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam guiding Safwan, one of his companions said that when you are confronted with some adversity, then seek the redress of your grievances from Imam Hussain alayhi salam with this ziyara, and Allah never reneges on his word. The word of Imam Sum. And this is why when we have dire straits, we have issues, we have difficulties, we recite the ziyar. And we ask Allah for our hajats, for our du'as. Question is, What should we really ask for? Yes, we should ask for our trials and tribulations to go away, for us to be freed from the burdens of strife that we have. But is there not a higher thing in terms of the high and sublime? That when we ask, Mu'mineen, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we ask afterwards, we recite the Ziyarat al-Warisa, we should not be asking for something small or mediocre. We should be asking for something high and sublime. It would be the greatest injustice, the greatest shortcoming on our part. For example, if we were to go as a child and taken to the best toy shop that exists and say, choose anything that you want from this store. Choose anything. It would be the height of injustice if I chose the smallest of the toys. I will choose the best. The best of things that I can get. Mu'mineen, the blessings of Allah are so many. So when we ask, Mu'mineen, let us raise ourselves to that lofty asking. For example, in the thinking, Sheikh Abdul Karim Hayri, the founder of the Hawza of Qom, he prayed once, according to his own biography, to say, oh dear master, I have become a mujtahid, but I want to become a human being. This is what he understood, the nature of things, that possession of knowledge has its value, but being truly human, he considered it to be even a higher value. To be a human, this is why he prayed. He understood the priorities as to what he was praying for. So we need to raise ourselves with this Ziyarat Ashura, and when we ask for a hajat, to the lofty sublimities of the cognition and self-awareness that, Ya Allah, give me that self-cognition. Give me that idea so that I can recognize myself. You know, Einstein was once taken by his friend to a violin store. And Einstein was told, and these were very, very expensive violins being sold. And his friend says, Einstein, I want to give you a gift. I want you to choose the best violin that you want in this store. And buy whatever you want, this is my gift to you. And I want you to be happy. And the reply that Einstein gives is indeed something worth thinking about. He said, my friend, my greatest pleasure is in knowing that I don't need any of these things to give pleasure to me. This is the cognition of a genius, to understand as to when somebody asks or desires something, that we desire something which is lofty. And therefore, let the Ziyarat Ashura tomorrow when we sit and recite and do the Amale Ashura, that it awakens us from the sluggishness caused by what we call this Hubba Dunya, the love of this world. It's like seawater. As per Sheikh Saduq that he recalls in Ikmaluddin, it is a hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq al-Islam to say that this Hubba Dunya is like seawater. The more you drink, the thirstier you become. You continue to drink more, you'll be even more thirsty. It's where they say on the never, never, it never ceases. So, we need to understand that to realize the ultimate purpose of the ziyarah that we recite is something very lofty. It's an example of many rituals that we have. I only have the time to look at Ziyarat Ashura because this is something that we are going to be. And in terms of tawalla, in terms of being close, getting close to those, and after Amr bil Maruf and Nahy anil Munkar, the concept of tawalla and tabarra become fundamental basis of our faith. And Imam said, O Jabir, the fifth Imam said, O Jabir, it is not enough for any person only to say by word of mouth that he loves Hazrat Ali and the Ahlul Bayt. He must follow the seerah and the way of life of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt and act according to the sunnah established by them. And then when we define tabarra, going away, is based on the Quranic concept that believers should disassociate themselves from the evildoers. So the one who does tawalla will, by virtue of it, disassociate. Tawalla and tabarra are mutually exclusive. You cannot have both. It's either one or the other. And it must be reflected. But Mumineen, you know, the words can become very cheap. Repeated utterances of tawalla are not going to make us any better people unless we actually act on it. There must be a complete disassociation with the seerah of those who were repelled by the Aimaa alayhi salam. And as I said, that the land that we utter must be regarded as a solemn pledge. When I have recited the 100 line to say I will disassociate myself, it is indeed a pledge. And it is a pledge to come back as a zawar, as a zair, so that I am able to be close to the very principles of our faith. Mu'mineen, this is the night of Ashura. We have finished the time for many thoughts that we were able to share. And we pray to Allah that He accepts, you know, our efforts, and that we move on. But here, when we look at this, tonight we remember in particular those who were with Imam Hussain Ali. This was indeed a moral victory by the companions of Imam. There were only 72. There were only 72 by most records. Some records say there were a few more. Although they were a minority facing a certain death, there is not a single person who moved across to the enemy's side. And yet some men in thousands left the army of Yazid, and there were some like Hazrat Hur who actually came to the camp of Imam Hussain al Islam. To begin with, this is a moral victory even before the battle began. And then historians report that at the daybreak on the day of Ashur, after talking to the companions and after the prayer, Imam said, and I quote, that death is nothing but a bridge that takes you across this world to another, from a world that is very coarse, hard and base, to the one that is sublime, that is noble, and that is judged. These were the words of Imam. And we need to understand, on the night of Ashur, he calls upon his friends, so pure, for each of them was a gem, to induce them to leave the dear ones. For the sake, he declared that he was the one who was going to be killed. Indeed, these are the words of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, and I actually quote. Imam says that on the night preceding the martyrdom, my father gathered his family and companions and said, "O people of my family and my Shia, consider this night," this was this night, "which has come to you as a mourning, which has come to you as a mounting camel, and save yourselves from these people, because these people do not desire anyone except me." And then after having killed me, Imam says, "they shall not pursue you. May Allah have mercy upon you. Save yourselves," Imam says. "Verily, I lift the responsibility of allegiance of the pledge upon you so that you may leave." What was the answer of the companions? This is the meaning of tawalla mu'mineen. This is the meaning of the companions of Imam Hussain al-Islam. When he said, "By Allah, O our master, O Abu Abdullah, we shall never betray you, so that people may say that we had abandoned our Imam, our chief, our master, until he was martyred. Then we would seek excuses between ourselves and Allah, and we shall not leave you until we ransom ourselves upon you." There were many conversations that took place. In the maqtal tomorrow, we will hear much more. But tonight, suffice it to say that there was a young man by the name of Qasim, the son of Imam Hassan al-Islam. And as the conversations were going on, Mu'mineen, Qasim asked his uncle to say, "Oh uncle, am I too to be included in this list of martyrs?" An imam asks him a question which has been graved in golden letters in the history of Islam. No young man had given such an answer. No young man had been so profound. Imam asked him to say, "Oh my dear son, how do you consider death? How do you consider martyrdom in the way of Allah? How do you find it?" And Qasim replies that it is sweeter than honey. This was the spirit. And then Imam says, "Verily by Allah, may your uncle be your ransom, you are one of them. You shall be martyred along with me after having fallen prey to." And he added, "My son Abdullah," meaning Ali Asghar, "shall also be martyred." Mu'mineen, upon hearing these words, Qasim immediately responded and reacted to say, "Oh dear uncle, then will the enemies then reach the women folk so as to kill the suckling child Abdullah?" This was the worry of Janab-e Qasim. Mu'mineen, we know what happened on the day of Ashur. As Imam Hussain alayhi salam, goes on back and forth seven times as to what would he do, how would he present the dead body of Hazrat Ali Asghar to the mother. He goes back and forth, Mu'mineen. Finally, he plucks up enough courage, and it is said that he actually, with his sword, digs a small grave for Hazrat Ali Asghar, hoping that maybe the child will be saved. Alas, alas, on the day of Ashur, his grave was also dug up, and his head was also on spears. Mu'mineen, when Imam finally comes slowly, he turns round, and then he loses all strength, and he thinks, and then he says, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." The time has come now that Imam is all alone. He looks around him. Where is Habib? Where is Muslim? Where is Zuhair? All his friends and companions have given their lives. There lie Omar and Muhammad. He looks at Hazrat Qasim's temple remains. He looks at Hazrat Ali Akbar's remains, his beloved son, and the dreadful wound on his chest. He looks towards Furat, and gently he whispers, "Oh Abbas." Perhaps he would have whispered to say, "Oh Abbas, I am so very alone. So very alone." Imam goes towards the tent of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, and we know from the history that Imam sends up, Imam wakes up and says, "Where is Ali Akbar? Where is Abbas? Where are all these?" Perhaps we are afraid of saying that even Asghar is not there. Imam says, son, just remember, save you and I, there is nobody left amongst the men. All of them have died." Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam tries to get up to say, "Where are you going, my son?" And said, "To fight Yazid's army." And he said, "No, my son, you are too sick to go. I have come to say goodbye. Look after the ladies and the children." Imam then stands in the center of the camp and cries out, "O Zainab, O Umme Kulsum, O Sukaina, O Rukaya, O Rubab, O Fizza, my greetings upon you. O farewell to you all. The ladies and the children weep and wail as they farewell, say farewell towards to the Imam." Mu'mineen, Imam walks towards his horse. Every valiant martyr had Imam Hussain al-Islam or someone to help them mount the horse. Bibi Zainab sees this, and what does she do? She steps forward and helps Imam Hussain to mount the horse. Zuljana moves a few stops and then stops. What do they see? They see Bibi Sakina clinging to the leg of the horse. And Imam finally convinces Bibi Sakina to back off, and then Imam moves forward. Imam rides towards the enemy. Mu'mineen, there's a shower of arrows. He ignores the arrows, and then he goes on. Even at the last moment, Imam al-Islam was preaching the Quran, because that was his job, to give tabligh. And he was telling the enemy to say that, "Do not, oh those of you who do not know me, I am the grandson of the Holy Prophet. I am on the path path of the truth. Yazid personifies falsehood and corruption. He wants to lead you away. On this other part, the sound comes to say, do not follow him. And there are many more arrows that come. Mu'minin, one last jumla from Imam Hussain alayhi salam to say. He said, if you do not care for Islam, do at least care for the freedom of your spirit. Mu'minin, Imam was asking them to think. And Umar ibn Sa'd cries out to say, do not fall victim to Hussein's oratory, kill him. From all directions, Mu'minin, the soldiers advanced toward Imam Hussein with their naked swords. And Imam said, you are determined to fight me, then fight you I shall. I do not fear death. Death to me is sweeter than dishonor. Now I shall let you witness the valor of the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Imam takes out his sword and Mu'minin, this thirsty, tired, wounded, grieving Imam fights that no one had ever seen him fight. And finally Jibreel appears to say, Oh Hussein, Allah is pleased with your bravery. The moment is now arrived for you to save Islam with your life. Imam Hussein looks at the sky. Yes, Mu'minin, tomorrow we will listen in the Maqtal. This is the time of Asr. Imam Hussein alayhi salam returns the sword to the sheath. He lowers himself on the horseback and he whispers to the horse to say, take me to where my father Fatima is waiting for me. Oh my faithful horse, go past where my Akbar is lying that I may see my beloved son just one more time before I die. Mu'minin, seeing that Hussein is now unsheathed his sword, the enemy come forth, and Imam al-Islam falls from the horse. His body does not touch the ground. Mu'minin, it is resting on the blades of the arrows. Somebody is moving towards where the Imam is and sajda on the arrows. He's holding a dagger. Mu'minin, I simply cannot say the other words except to say that the earth trembles. Mu'minin, the sun gone into an eclipse. And Jibreel cries that Hussein has been martyred. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.